Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter the presence of the Lord on this day and offer him our praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. Good morning, David. How are you this morning? We've missed you, my friend. In case you haven't noticed, David Shrimpton's in the house. And we're pleased to welcome him. As we enter this morning and begin with our time of announcements, I'm going to invite Cynthia to come forward because she was afraid I would forget her at the end to do the session summary.
Good morning. So I went downstairs and I said, Reverend Adams, can I go first, please? And he said, okay. Before I start the session summary, I just want to remind everyone that the givings and charitable contributions for this month are dedicated to Center 105. And we had considered stuff, like things that they might need, but they need things like bacon and eggs and milk and very perishable stuff. So we thought, you know what, we're just going to send them a monetary donation for this month. So today, after the service, the Mission and Outreach Committee is hosting a luncheon, and we hope that you will come downstairs. It's in the lower hall. It's a free will luncheon, and all proceeds will go to Center 105. If you need an elevator, Brenda will be here after the service to facilitate that for you, and so that's wonderful. And I see Kelly in the house, too. Hi, David, but Kelly, hi. Good to see you. Reverend Adams will say grace before the benediction, and I will begin the session summary. We met on Tuesday, October 14th at 7 p.m., and Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from Psalm 47, which celebrates God's kingship over all the earth and calls us to praise him with joyful songs and shouts. He protects and provides for us, and one day the world will be united under his rule. The process for the selection of four new elders will begin on Sunday, October 26th, and so more information will be shared next week at that process starting. Keppel Barrett and Laurel Adams continue to work on finding ways to reduce our ever-increasing insurance costs, and we thank them for their diligence with this task. Session approved a request from a gentleman named Chris McGillis, who will come to practice on our organ, and he will begin in the very near future. He'll be in during the week when Minna and the sanctuary aren't using the space. Susan McDonald reported on behalf of the House Committee that the church building continues to be very actively used by various groups. A Celtic Music for Christmas Time concert will be held here on October 7th at 2:30 p.m., and they hope that many of you will attend. I meant to bring a poster with me, but if you are willing to take a poster to a local business that you frequent who might post it in their establishment, please see us after the service and we can give one to you. Susan also reported that the Mission and Outreach team meets regularly, and their discussion topics include how we can be a welcoming and inclusive church in our community, how we can engage and communicate with newcomers, and how we can reach out to those in need through our monthly collections. The Doors Open team also provided excellent feedback to Session on how that community activity could be better advertised and offered ways to make the wonderful materials that they created and used, thank you, West Press, to share information about St. John's, how to make that more permanent. So Session took a look at that. Barb Mason reported on behalf of Pastoral Care, she and her team of dedicated visitors spend time making sure that addresses and contact information for our parishioners in care facilities is up to date. They discussed the frequency of visits and decided that short drop-ins and even phone calls on a regular basis are very much appreciated by those who are in care facilities. They welcomed one new member to the team. Thank you very much, Mr. Martin. And they are open to welcoming people into this ministry. So if you are interested in volunteering in this capacity, please see Barb Mason. There will be get-togethers at Christmas in the facilities, and the team, along with Reverend Adams, provides regular communion at Riverdale Terrace and at McConnell Manor. Brenda Aikman reported that the Session Trust Funds will disperse monies from the McNish Fund to the following charities: A Place of Hope Indigenous Church, Gracefield Christian Camp, and Center 105. A $75 donation was made from the Brown Fund to provide St. John's with a wreath at the Royal Canadian Legion Remembrance Day service. And finally, a $50 donation was made in memory of Agnes Cooper, and that was made to Cooper Marsh, which was really quite fitting. Michelle Alexis reported on behalf of the Worship and Music Committee. The service of carols and lessons will take place here again this year, hopefully in partnership with Trinity, on the fourth Sunday of Advent. And I wish I had a concept card. The session also improved the use of what's called a concept card. It's a new concept. It's an actual card with a QR code on. It'll be in your pews, so when you come in, you can use that card to update your, you know, demographic information. But mostly important, newcomers will be able to use that QR code to let us know who they are and get some more information on the church. For example, we do have a nursery downstairs. So that will be a good way for us to get to know newcomers. Session continues to provide feedback to the Worship and Music Committee regarding our music ministry. And then finally, Trish Brown reported that the fundraising team has had a brainstorming session for fundraising possibilities for 2026. So we hope you will watch for more information in the bulletin and on the screens for ways that you can participate in what looks like to be some pretty fun and engaging events and activities. Thank you.
Thank you. And a couple of the different announcements. Updating your information was mentioned. So I'm going to take this opportunity to plug the form. It's been in the bulletin for the last couple of weeks. It's not there this week, but there are copies of this membership information form at all of the entrances. And if anything in your life has changed, an email address, you bought a new cell phone and your number changed, and I know it's hard to remember whether you did that this year or last, but if you think that something has changed and we need to know about it here at the church office, let us know. It's one of the great challenges in the days that we live in is actually just keeping track with people and the means that we have to touch base with them. You will notice Olivia looks different this morning. Olivia is right now she's still in Minneapolis. She was auditioning with the Metropolitan Opera yesterday, and so she was unable to get a flight back in time to be here with us in worship this morning. So we welcome Simi Luttrell to St. John's and to the piano bench this morning. We're pleased to have Simi with us. He's a native of British Columbia, studying at McGill, and he is a piano major or bachelor's, master's. That was the part I wasn't quite sure where he was in the educational. And Olivia met him. If you remember, Olivia was away in August doing some opera work in Kelowna, and she met Simi there. So they traveled back kind of together, not together, you know what I mean. They ended up back in Quebec together, Montreal, and we're very pleased to have Simi here. A reminder of the... Before I do this announcement... Over the next month, things are going to get really busy in our community. There's going to be all kinds of events and concerts, and it's just a reminder to you that the bulletin board in the lower hall, as you come in at ground level from the back of the church, which is where many people do, that bulletin board will have all kinds of advertisement for community events and concerts. So always take a moment to look at that bulletin board as you're walking by it. There will be something new. Just this morning I noticed somebody had stuck up a poster for the Rocky Horror Picture Show in 2 weeks' time at the Port Theater. Not something I can say I've ever had on a bulletin board in any other church before, but there you go. I'm a big Rocky Horror Picture fan show, so that's good. I'm glad to see that there. And on the topic of special events, an very special event for us takes place next week. There is a special service of praise and thanksgiving in celebration of the 150th anniversary of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. It will take place next Sunday afternoon at Knox Presbyterian Church in Morrisburg at 3 p.m. This is a presbytery-wide service, so it will be quite an event. And the guest preacher is the Reverend Dr. Stuart MacDonald. Stuart is the recently retired professor of church history from Knox College in Toronto. So please plan to attend. There will be cake afterwards if that is the incentive that you are looking for to make to get you there. But it will be an uplifting service of worship, I'm sure. And Cynthia already mentioned it, but just in case you missed it, there will be no coffee in the McClellan room this morning. Instead, we have a fellowship time downstairs, and it will be in the form of a hot dog luncheon. If you can drop a toonie or a $5 bill or a $100 bill, we don't discriminate in the receptacle downstairs in support of Center 105 and their ministry. That would be great, but we are gathering for a time of lunch following worship. And that is not in Caldwell Hall. It is directly below us in the lower hall, the one thing. So make sure you go downstairs. You can get there either by continuing down the stairs at the back or through these stairs at the front of the sanctuary following worship. And I'll just say briefly, stewardship insert. We've been doing our stewardship series throughout the last several weeks, and the information for you to guide you in your planning for next year and your giving is in the bulletin this morning. I commend it to your attention. Found it. As we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle, as we always do, a visible reminder to us that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his ways of light. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Enlivened and inspired by the Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to God.
We welcome love.
Enlivened and inspired by the Holy Spirit, we open this space of belonging.
We welcome invitation.
Enlivened and inspired by the Holy Spirit, we open our minds to mystery.
We welcome.
Enlivened and inspired by the Holy Spirit, we prepare a table of life and blessing.
We welcome fellowship because God welcomes all. We are all welcome here.
Let us pray. Loving God, we gather in a spirit of welcome and belonging. We recognize that these are sacred gifts that we both receive and are called upon to share. May our hospitality be our testimony. Grant us the generosity of spirit to make your love manifest in this broken and beloved world. Amen. We begin our service this morning in praise as we sing hymn 528 in the Book of Praise. Jesus calls us here to meet him. Hymn 528, or as the words appear before you on the screen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Even at our most faithful, we stand in need of God's grace. Because of God's unfailing love, mercy is promised even before we speak the truth. In humility, with confidence, let us come this day confessing our sins before God and one another as we say together the prayer as it is printed, or as it appears before you on the screen. Gracious and loving God, you have called us to be one body in Christ, a people united in faith, hope, and love. Yet we have allowed divisions to grow among us. We have pursued our own interests. We have hoarded your blessings for ourselves. Forgive us, O Lord, for the pride that separates us, for the envy that breeds resentment, and for the indifference that leaves others unseen and unheard. Forgive us and help us to live as signs of your reconciliation in the world, a people who reflect the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Because we have been buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, we are raised with Christ to new life. Forgiven and freed, live lives worthy of the calling to which you have been called, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, seek to do good with all people. And I invite you now to turn to those who are near to you and to greet one another with the peace of Christ. Let us pass the peace. Our next hymn is going to take you way back in Sunday school. I don't think I've ever picked this song as a hymn in church before, but we're going to sing it today, and it's the hymn Zacchaeus. Now, there are actions to Zacchaeus, if you remember, from way back in your Sunday school days. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for his... I'm going to get the words wrong, so follow the words on the screen when they come up. Oh, thank you, Dan. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the master passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said... And this line is spoken, not sung. Zacchaeus, you come on down. For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Now there's a second verse. Don't forget that spoken line. And with that, let us sing the hymn, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Actually, I never knew there was a second verse to Zacchaeus until I went looking for the music this week. Good morning. How are you all this morning? Good. We just sang a song about Zacchaeus. Tell me everything you know about Zacchaeus. He was a little man. That's all you need to know. Well, there's a few more things that we know about Zacchaeus. But for this morning, we're just going to talk about the fact that Zacchaeus was a little man. And what does that mean? That meant that Zacchaeus was different from all the other people, right? And Zacchaeus had a problem in the song that we just sang. And this is a story from the Bible, actually. We're going to hear the whole story at the gospel time. But Zacchaeus, in the story, what happens? Jesus comes to his town, and Zacchaeus, think about it, Zacchaeus is very small. So what happens when Jesus comes to town and all of the people follow Jesus? Zacchaeus can't see him, can he? And that's why Zacchaeus climbs up into a tree. What? Do you remember what kind of tree? No? Do you remember? It's a big name. It's a sycamore tree. That's right. Thank you, choir. He climbed up in a sycamore tree so that he could get high up over the other people and he could look and see Jesus. And Jesus saw him too and invited him to come and follow. Two important lessons out of that passage this morning, aren't there? We have to be mindful. We have to remember people who are different from us. And we have to help them to be able to participate in the things that we can that we take for granted, and we do. You guys are all small, so you know what it's like to be like Zacchaeus, don't you? And sometimes not be able to see because there are big, tall people standing in your way. Right? So that's the Zacchaeus thing. Got to remember to be helpful to those who are around us, who are different than us and need our help from time to time. And then the faith lesson that we've got to learn, which is that Jesus comes to find all of us, and Jesus will look for us no matter where we are. So those are our two lessons from Zacchaeus this morning. And I'm so glad we had a chance to sing Zacchaeus' song. So we'll let you go off to Sunday school this morning. You're not learning about Zacchaeus downstairs. Probably they're going to learn about Zacchaeus in a couple of weeks because I'm out of order. And we'll see you all for hot dogs later. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, open us to your word, that we would hear what you would say to us today. Through Jesus Christ, who invites us to welcome him in, even before we are ready or worthy. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 25, 1 and 6 to 10. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the covering that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "See, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. The Moabites shall be trodden down in their place as straw is trodden down in the manure. The responsive reading is Psalm 94. O Lord, you God of vengeance, you God of vengeance, shine forth.
Rise up, O judge of the earth. give to the proud what they deserve.
O Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked exult?
They pour out their arrogant words. All the evildoers boast.
They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage.
They kill the widow and the stranger. They murder the orphan.
And they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive.
Understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise?
He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see?
He who disciplines the nations, he who teaches the knowledge to humankind, does he not chastise?
The Lord knows our thoughts, that they are but an empty breath.
Happy are those whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom your teacher,
giving them respite from days of trouble until a pit is dug for the wicked.
For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage.
For justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. The epistle is from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. Indeed, there have to be factions among you, for only so will it become clear who among you are genuine. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you proceeds to eat your own supper, and one goes hungry, and another becomes drunk. What, do you not have households to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you are hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. About the other things, I will give instructions when I come.
Once more, let us turn to God in praise as we sing hymn 371, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, 371.
Oh,
Few lines in hymnody that I think are more profound than that closing line out of the hymn that we've just sung. Till we cast our crowns before him and take our place lost in wonder, love, and praise. As we come now, let us listen for God's word and given in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. You know what's coming. As Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it, a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There may be no more well-known passage of Scripture than the words that are at the center of this morning's text from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We hear them said aloud every time we gather at the Lord's table to celebrate the Lord's Supper. These words are the scriptural warrant. They are the reason and the rationale as to why we celebrate the Lord's Supper within the context of the community of faith. For I have received from the Lord that which also I handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Right? I can recite them from memory. I don't, because my memory always leaves me at the wrong time. But I can. Probably you can too. We have heard them over and over again. They are instilled within us. They are a part of us. We eat them and we drink them at the table. And on their own, those words that I just said, they seem so laudable, so commendable, that you should gather at the table to rehearse in our lives and in the life of this community this wondrous example of inclusion and love that Jesus first celebrated with his disciples in an upper room in Jerusalem on the night when he was betrayed. And yet, this passage that we've just heard from read, well, let's start with this. It's rarely preached in worship. In the Revised Common Lectionary, this passage only is read on Monday, Thursday, across the 3 years of the cycle of the lectionary. But on that night, when we gather here, just before Good Friday and Easter Sunday, our focus is fixated not on this passage, but on the gospel and Jesus' sharing of the Passover meal with his disciples. And so we never really dive into this text. We never read it in its broader understanding. We just know those words that we hear at the table. We never hear what came before them. We never give thought to what comes after them. We never hear Paul scolding the Corinthian congregation. And yes, it is a scolding. "Now, in the following instruction, I do not mean to commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse." Wow. Those are tough words from the preacher, aren't they? This is something that is uncommendable. That the actions of a community of faith gathered in worship would be so, well, unchristian. But that's exactly what Paul is saying in this text. Like so many of the issues in the early church to whom Paul wrote, we don't really have a good background as to what's going on. What is the situation that Paul is really trying to address here? And so we're left to deduce and surmise what's going on in this Christian community. But there seems to be several issues that Paul is addressing. It's not one, it's two or three shortcomings and failings and offenses on the behalf of the Corinthian church. In these few little short verses that sit on either side of the great scriptural warrant and the call to the table. First, Paul notes that there are divisions within the church. I think we can understand that, can't we? That for these early Christian communities to whom Paul introduced the word of God and the love of God made known to us in Jesus Christ, churches that existed without the heritage of faith with which we have been blessed, for the Corinthian church, everything is new. Indeed, these churches existed before there were things like creeds, which established the basic tenets of the Christian faith. They were learning what it meant to be a Christian as they were walking the road, as they went along, and what it meant to be a Christian community. Indeed, there was not even a canon of scripture when Paul writes this letter to point them to more sound teachings. When the Corinthians read Paul's letter to the first Corinthians, they didn't know it was Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It was just a letter from Paul. And it wasn't even in the Bible yet. Imagine. Sometimes we forget those really simple little things. There is no Bible for the Corinthian church. Everything is letter and word of mouth and the personal experience of Jesus. Now, regardless of the source of these divisions that Paul is attempting to address here, I think we all can understand how easy it is sometimes for divisions to arise in a community of faith, a community of people anywhere, indeed, because we know it ourselves, don't we? The hymns are too fast, followed a week later by the hymns are too slow. The pews are too hard. The church is too hot. Thank you, Nick, by the way, for heat this morning. It was cold in here throughout the week, but we have heat this morning. Give thanks and praise to God for that and to Nick. The church is too hot or the church is too cold, and that may either be from a thermostatic point of view or perhaps from a spiritual point of view. Perhaps it is our faith sometimes that runs hot or cold. But you get the picture, right? It's hard to live in community together. It's hard to make everybody happy. But beyond that, there seems to be here in this letter that Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, there seems to be in that congregation divisions that really cut to the heart of their existence as a Christian community. You know, it seems that the practice of the early church was, well, it was a little bit different than the practice that we have today as congregations of faith. When the Corinthian congregation gathered for worship, they also ate a meal together. Not a symbolic meal, but real food. They came together with a box lunch, if you will, that they might fellowship together and spend time in each other's company. And I think we kind of understand that too, don't we? Acts chapter 2 speaks about how the very first Christians pooled all of their resources, eating together in one another's homes and sharing their resources as each one had need. And it seems that by the time that Paul writes this letter to the Corinthians, the church had forgotten those last four words, as each had need. It seems that had been forgotten. And rather than ensuring that the least among them had enough, the Corinthian church was starting to fragment along socioeconomic lines. Sometimes we talk about Paul and Paul's letter and Paul dealing with big issues of theology and faith and whether one needed to be a Jew before he was a Christian. Not here. In Corinth, the issue really revolves around socioeconomic problems. Those who could afford to eat lavish meals would bring their lavish meal to church. Those who enjoyed a good bottle of wine with their meal would bring their good bottle of wine with them to church. And they would eat and they would drink in the presence of those who could barely afford to bring a morsel of bread. It seemed in the Corinthian church, there was no hot dog lunch for these people. They were holding out for the filet mignon. And in so doing, the commonality of community and the commonality of the communion, the celebration of the Lord's Supper, was being ripped apart. How they were living their day-to-day lives truly did impinge upon their faith lives too. And it is as a result of that that Paul cautions them. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body, eat and drink judgment against themselves. It would seem that Paul is warning this church against turning a blind eye and ignoring the plight of others in their community. And that ignorance of others is indeed right before them as they practice in their practice of table fellowship within the church. Put another way, it's as the author of the first letter to John states in chapter 4 of that book. In 1 John, we find those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. In our gathering for worship each week, we are mindful that the church is this wonderful and multifaceted kaleidoscope, made up of people from every culture and race, each of us bringing what we have to share to the larger group. As a church, we are far more heterogeneous than we were in the past. From every nation of the world, from various church traditions even, and yet all drawn together into one place by the God who unites us all. Indeed, just this week, someone articulated in a conversation that they are here at St. John's because here they can find space to be who they are as together we seek to give praise and worship to God. What greater calling is there for the church than to see in the face of our fellow travelers the face of God and to honor that reality in all that we do? To allow for them to have space in which they can express their own faith while at the same time being drawn together in the Spirit's tether to be a congregation of faith, of people united. The church is a holy loom, and we are the warp and weft of the cloth, coming and going in and out, back and forth, drawing together the individuals we are and the gifts that we possess into the tapestry of faith. And our congregational life bears witness to that diversity. We have spoken over these past few weeks of gifts and blessings, of service and thanksgiving, that we have been blessed by God and through that blessing, drawn together in faith. Through that blessing, enabled to reach out with the good news of the gospel to other people. As we noted in the announcement time this morning, the insert in the bulletins for this week, and it was also, I think, emailed out with the bulletin this week, going out that we might take a moment in the next day, week, maybe month, as we start to look toward the end of this year and the beginning of another, to discern how much God has blessed us and how we can be blessings to other people. Acknowledging that God calls us to be that blessing, united in hope and in prayer, united in common cause to ease the suffering of this world, because that is God's mission for us. Let us each day remember God's goodness, give thanks for God's blessing to us, drawing us together into this place that is rich with diversity, that we might truly become the people of God to all people in the world. And for all these gifts and all these blessings, we say amen and thanks to God. Our affirmation of faith for this morning is taken from Living Faith, chapter 8.4. It's from the section entitled Justice. I think we used this one not long ago, but it's back before us this morning, so it may sound familiar to you. God is always calling the church to seek justice in the world, which reflects the divine righteousness revealed in the Bible. God's justice is seen when we deal fairly with each other and strive to change customs and practices that oppress and enslave others. Justice involves protecting the rights of others. It protests against everything that destroys human dignity.
Justice requires concern for the poor of the world. It brings the best way to create well-being in every society.
It is concerned about employment, education, and health, as well as rights and responsibilities. Amen. Freely we have received, freely may we give, that those in need may see and touch and hear and eat the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Lay up your treasures in heaven, O people, lay up your treasures in glory, where nothing in this world will take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, come and lay up
your treasures in heaven, O people,
lay up
your treasures
in glory. Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forevermore, forevermore. The things that will last for eternity, come and lay up your treasures in heaven.
O people,
lay up
your treasures in glory,
where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, come and lay up
your
your treasures in heaven. O people,
lay up
your treasures in glory.
Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forevermore. Put your trust in the Lord of all. Won't you lay up
your treasures in heaven?
Lay up
your treasures in
glory, where nothing in this world can take them away. Oh, listen, people, hear the Master say, come and lay up
your treasures
in heaven.
Oh, people,
lay up
your treasures
in glory. Your treasures in this world will fade away, but the things of the Lord will last forevermore, forevermore, forevermore,
how can we thank you for such wondrous love? You have covered us with blessings and sustained us with hope. Most of all, you have given us your very self for our life and the life of the world. In gratitude, we bring our gifts to you this day, presenting them for the sake of those that you love, here in this place and around the world. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. God of love and justice, you have made it clear to us, your people, that you are tired of our churchy words and religious festivals, and that the worship you desire from us is an ethical life lived out in a society that we make just. Hear our prayers for your whole creation as we come before you this day. We pray for the church and for all who live by faith, doing charity and advocating for social change. Inspire us, O God, with new ways to be your church, reaching out into the world. And bless our labors as we seek to tell others of the wonders of your love and work to institute your kingdom of justice here on earth, reflective of the justice of your kingdom in heaven. God of justice, cultivate peace between the nations and peoples and between political parties. Help us to set aside pride and partisanship, that all might live lives of grace. Protect and comfort those enduring the violence of war or crime or the destructive forces of nature, and make us eager to respond to the needs of our world with generosity and companionship. Preserve those who suffer violence at home or bullying at school, and embolden those who see their trouble to help bring relief and aid. You, O God, are a healing God, and we pray that you will grant healing mercies to all those who are ill or facing death, that they may know your peace, and uphold those who care for them, that they may find rest in your presence. Delivering God, through Jesus Christ, you come to us and teach us the way of true worship, doing good, seeking justice, rescuing the oppressed, defending the orphan, and pleading for the widow. Renew in us your vision of the worship that we want, that we may take part in your work in the world by the power and strength of your Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, name above all names. Hear us now as we gather together all our prayers and petitions into the one prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us turn now to the closing praise, number 779 in the Book of Praise. Lord, you give the Great Commission, or as it will appear before you on the screens.
Thank you.
And before the benediction, the grace which I remembered. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, we give you thanks that you call us together as a community of faith, and that in fellowship we can praise your name and gather in a round table together. We give you thanks for the food that we are about to eat, and pray that it will be a blessing to us, that we might be quickened and enabled to serve you in the world. And now as we leave this place, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and show you mercy and grace. And may God's presence, which fills you and flows from you, go before you always in peace, this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.